Good morning, everyone. My name's Aaron. I'm one of the pastors here at Bridgewater, and we are super excited to have you here with us this week. We're beginning a brand new series focused on forgiveness and learning how to extend forgiveness to the people that we're in relationship with. Before we dive into that, I want to talk with you about a different subject, okay, for just a moment. I want to talk with you about a word that causes a lot of fear. The word is cancer. Familiar with it? We have a culture, because cancer is so rampant, we do a lot of things to try to avoid it. We talk about foods that are known to cause cancer. We talk about activities and things and places that you go that we know are dangerous, and we talk about avoiding it. Why? Because of how dangerous cancer really, really is. We all understand, we've all been touched by and impacted because of the effects of cancer on our world. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about something that causes cancer, and it's just as serious. It's a reality that when I choose, when I choose to not forgive someone, it produces a cancer deep inside of me that begins to eat away, frankly, at my soul. It's a cancer that comes, it's bitterness, and it spreads, and it causes hurt not only to me, but to others. And just like we would take cancer seriously, and we would treat it, and we would cut it out, and we would do everything that we possibly could to make sure it could not work its evil ways in us, as we talk about forgiveness over the next couple of weeks, I urge with you to consider with me doing everything you can to cut unforgiveness out, because it'll eat you alive. Now, here's the thing. I need this series. I need this series because there's a couple of things that I know about me. I know that There are some people in my life that I find it really easy to forgive. My children, I'm not saying I'm a perfect dad or that I don't get mad or anything like that. Please don't hear me say that, because you can ask them. They're here. They'll tell you, okay? But when my children come to me and they've done something wrong and they tell me, I do not find it difficult to forgive my children. If somebody, you know, does something small, if somebody makes a mistake and it hurts me or this or that, I don't find it difficult to forgive those things. But with people that I am like super, super close with, maybe even some of our most intimate relationships, there are things that people can do and say that hurt me so deeply that I don't want anything to do with forgiveness. Can you identify? Here's what else I know about myself. I know that when I sin against somebody or I hurt somebody else and I need forgiveness, when I go to them, when I need forgiveness, I expect to receive it. If I've done something wrong to you, if I've done something against you and I come to you and I seek forgiveness, I expect that I'm going to get it. Why? Because I tend to think, well, of course, like, I should get it. I mean, I'm a good guy. None of you are laughing. But the reality is, we all kind of feel that way, right? We tend to think, well, they should forgive me, right? But then on the other hand, when somebody comes to me and someone needs forgiveness from me, do you know what I tend to think? I tend to start asking, well, do they deserve it? Do they deserve it? Do they know how much they hurt me? Do they know that what they did caused me to lay there and cry, caused me pain night after night? Do they know? Do they really deserve it? See, that's the messy nature of humanity, isn't it? That when it comes to us, yeah, of course we should get forgiveness. When it comes to somebody else, I don't know. And here's why. I don't like forgiving people when I think they don't deserve it. Can we just all be honest here for a minute? I don't like forgiving people at work when I think they don't deserve it. I don't like forgiving people who've hurt me, because they need to know that they've hurt me, and they need to understand how it's affected me. They need to know what they've done. Not only that, I struggle with forgiveness because I don't like letting people off the hook. How about you? And when you forgive, it feels like you're kind of letting somebody off the hook. And I don't like letting them off the hook because they need to feel the weight of it. That's the reality for a lot of us. Which begs the question. In fact, it's caused me to wrestle with, is that how God approaches us? Is it? Thankfully, there's some clarity in the scriptures about how God approaches forgiveness, and then also how we can apply forgiveness into our daily lives, how we can take it to work with us on Monday, how we can take it into a messy divorce situation, how we can take it into the interactions with family that are painful, how we can take it into the day in and day out stuff that comes up, whether people know they've hurt you or not. Where I want to take you today is found in the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bible and you want to open it up, you can look there. If you don't happen to have one with you, I would tell you, we have a bunch out there in the foyer. You can grab one on your way out. It's free. You can take it with you, and you can follow along right up here this morning. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about God's approach to forgiveness. Okay, so I want to start with that, and I just want to see, how does God approach forgiveness? Because if God's approach to forgiveness is like mine, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm in trouble. You know? So what does God say? Well, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, a man named Paul, a guy who really did a lot of hurtful things, he talks about God's approach to forgiveness. And he says this. He says, "You were dead." That's a nice way to start. You were dead. What does that mean? Well, the idea of death, it's the separation of the soul from something. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from its maker, from God. Paul is talking to people who were very much so breathing and alive, so it wasn't separation of the soul from their body, but it was separation of the soul from its maker, separation from God. They were dead. How did they get that way? Well, he goes on. He says, because of your sins. See, this is what happens. You and I both know this. When somebody sins against us, what does it do? When somebody sins against me, it breaks the relationship. It hurts me. It hurts you. And the same is true in our relationship with God, that we've, because of our sin against him, and you say, I don't know that I've sinned against God. I mean, the reality is, anytime we sin against human beings, we're actually fundamentally sinning against God, because we're made in the image of God. You were dead because of your sins. So what was God's response? Was God's response, well, I wonder if they deserve it or not. No, let's see. In fact, the situation gets worse before it gets better. Here's what he goes on, and he says, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, which was not yet cut away. In fact, there's this thing inside of us. You know, this thing where I know what to do. I know the right thing to do, but oftentimes I still choose the wrong thing? You know, it's like, I remember specifically my growing up, my mom literally had a cookie jar. Did anybody else have one of those? You know? And when you have a cookie jar, it's like somebody automatically has to say, don't get in the cookie jar, right? Well, what's a little kid gonna do? Why? That's this thing. That's our sinful nature that was not yet cut away that he's talking about. The things that we know we shouldn't do and the things that we've been told not to do, we oftentimes end up doing them. And the things that we know that we should do, what do? We often run in the other direction. This was our situation with God. And then verse 13 continues on, and he says this, then God, here's what he did, God made you alive with Christ. We were dead, unable to respond, not in a relationship with him, and God made us alive with Christ. How did he do that? How in the world does he make a dead thing alive? And not only that, we had sin against him, so what did God do? Did he just like wave a magic wand and go like, oh, cool, all of your sin is taken away? No. The text says, for he forgave all our sins. What is that saying? Here's what verse 13 is saying. When it comes to forgiveness and God, I didn't deserve it, but he gave it anyway. God's approach is not like, what did you deserve? No, it's pretty clear what I deserve. It's pretty clear. I didn't deserve it, but he gave it anyway. And how did he do that? What process did he do? Did he just let me off the hook and just say, here you go, you know, whatever, it's cool, I'm just going to let it go? No, verse 14 explains to us the process that God took to take care of our sins. Verse 14, it says this, he canceled the record of the charges against us. You know, this is legal language. You know that? I'm going to ask a question. Anybody here ever had a record? No, I'm kidding. Don't answer that question. I thought that would just, you know, everybody's looking around like, and the people in the front are like, no, I'm just kidding. Just joking. But let's imagine for a minute that you did something that caused you to have a legal record. Maybe you the speed limit was a suggestion, you thought. You went a little too fast. Or maybe you were driving at a time when you probably shouldn't have been driving. Or maybe you were tired of, you know, your neighbor's barn that was falling down and should have been taken care of, and some gasoline just found its way onto the bunk. Okay, bad ideas. I'm sorry. I'm joking. Let's stop there. Here's the thing. Whatever happened, you got caught. And now there's charges against you. Okay? That's the language. You have to go into the courtroom, stand before the judge. Your case is presented. They said, here's what happened. He did this and this, and here's the evidence. And we caught him this, and we caught her, and all of this stuff, okay? And the reality is, maybe some of that seems tame, and the stuff that would show up in the courtroom of your interaction with God feels like it's way heavier than anything that I just described. I get that. I get that. Here's what's happening. It's saying that God canceled out all of the records. Did the evidence go away? No. Did the charges just poof go away? No. He canceled it out and he took it away. How? By nailing it to the cross. Can I share with you something that's really, really cool and interesting for me as like a person who tries to study the Bible all the time? This is the same word that's used in crucifixion language, where a sign would be written and placed above the person crucified. They would write their name and they would write what they had done. This is the same word that's being used. So when Jesus was crucified, they literally wrote this, you know, they wrote this sign and said he said he was the King of the Jews. Paul is saying it's the same idea. It's that he took this whole record of yours, whatever it was, whatever was there for you and whatever is there for me, he wrote it down, he put it on a sign, and he nailed it to the cross and then triumphed over it. That's what he's saying. So did God just, like, let me off the hook? No. God didn't let me off the hook. He went one step further. He paid my debt. He paid it. Forgiveness is like that. Forgiveness is like that in our relationships. It's the thing that keeps us from developing this inner cancer. Forgiveness is a decision that you and I need to make. It's a decision to cancel a debt. And to pay it on somebody else's behalf. And yes, it will cost you something. But let's not forget what you've already been forgiven. And I know that's hard. It's hard for me. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes to people who put their faith in Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Every week when we gather, okay, I know that there are, you know, people who are new to the idea of church here every week and new to the idea of Jesus and trying to figure out a relationship with God. And that's great. I love that. But I want you to know these words were written specifically to people who are saying, yep, I'm trying to follow Jesus. And so if you're not sure about that, I want to be clear. This is not like some requirement that God is putting on you, okay? But it is something that he is telling Christ followers he need to do. Now, if you're not sure, this is still a really good idea, and you can take it and run with it for yourself. But I would tell you, this is really written specifically to Christians. And here's what he says. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, couple of things, okay? That word holy is really big and scary. It just means like set apart people. Doesn't mean we're better than, doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that we're designed to be set apart to be a reflection of who God is, okay? So since we have been chosen to be his holy people, here's what we're to do. We're to put on these clothes. You want to talk about church clothes? We're not talking about fancy clothes. We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about actually putting on the character of Christ. Put on tender-hearted mercy. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, the good news is these are all super easy, especially the patience thing, right? Yeah. Yesterday, my wife and I had to sit in the car and wait for a friend who was dropping something off to us. We sat there for 10 minutes. I almost died. Isn't it sad, like how impatient we are as a culture, you know? But it gets even harder in the next verse. Because here's what he says. He says, make allowance for each other's faults. Now, I like it when people are patient with me. I like it when people are gracious with me, when they understand that I got some rough edges and they're you know, they'll be kind to me. Here, he's saying, hey, we're to be kind to one another and to make allowance for the fact that we're not complete yet. We're not fully mature yet. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about expectations. And you know how sometimes in your relationships with people, you have this like expectation that the person should have everything figured out and they should never like be grumpy and they should never be frustrated and they should never, because that's what you're like, right? Yeah, not so much. Make allowance for one another. And then he goes even further, and here's where I think like the scripture starts to meddle with our lives, and I don't like it. Here's what it says: and forgive anyone who offends you. Yeah, that's great, except you don't know what they did to me. Right? You don't know what my ex did to me. You don't know what she said. You don't know what he did. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how they lied about me or gossiped about me. You don't know the abuse I've endured. You don't know all of these things. You don't know. No, God, here's the interesting thing. God does know. God does know. And he calls us to forgive. I like most words except this one. Anyone. Anyone who offends you. Why? It's not as if God is just saying, hey, do it because I said so. He gives us a reason. The end of the verse, he says this, remember, the Lord forgave you. Ah, there it is. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, there's some common misconceptions with forgiveness, because the minute I started talking today about forgiveness, you have ideas in your head, you have thoughts, you have things that you're going, oh, he's probably talking about this, and wait, let me share with you a couple of common misconceptions, in fact, four of them. I'll just go over four common misconceptions about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is not a feeling, okay? Like, I don't feel like forgiving, and if I waited until I felt like forgiving, I probably wouldn't ever forgive. So if you're waiting to feel like it, or if you're waiting for the pain to subside, or if you're waiting for the other person to feel like they did something wrong, it's probably not going to come. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Not what it is. Why do I have a sudden urge to go, more than a feeling? Yeah, sorry, there you go. I don't know. It's my ADHD brain. Second, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not. It's not like we've only forgiven once we forget. Anybody ever heard the term forgive and forget? Yeah, that's great. It's a load of baloney. I can't forget. Like, there were things that were said to me when I was a child, things that I've experienced over the course of my life that I will never forget. You're no different. I can forget, like, where I went yesterday. I can't forget some of those things. So what does that mean? Am I stuck? No. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's actively choosing not to remember. It's actively choosing not to think on it. I've said this before, and I love this is one of my favorite quotes. Abraham Lincoln said, he said this. He said, I cannot control whether a bird chooses to fly over my head, but I can certainly control whether or not I allow it to make a nest in my hair. I cannot control what goes into my head, but I can control whether or not I let it stay there and fester and churn and go over and over and over and create a cancer. This is where we can learn from the example of God. God, in speaking to the nation of Israel, and they had abandoned him and done all kinds of terrible things and forsaken him, God told them, hey, there's going to come a day where we're going to fix this and we'll get this right. And he said this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. He said this, for I will forgive their iniquity, talking about Israel and their sin. They had you know, turned away from him, and their sin I will remember no more. I will actively choose to not think on it. It's not that God forgets. No, he doesn't forget. He just actively chooses not to think on it. I wonder what would happen. Like if I would stop waiting until I could forget and start choosing right now to actively not remember. Like, rather than when I get in a fight with my spouse or getting into a tiff with a family member, rather than breaking out the kitchen sink and throwing, you remember that time that you did this, and you remember that time you did this, and I remember when you said this, and I remember when you locked me in the shed. Okay, maybe that happened between me and my brother. I don't know, you know, but whatever. Rather than throwing that at each other, what if we learned to actively not remember? Third, forgiveness does not remove all the consequences. And this is key. This is key because some of your hurt is actually hurt that is not only deep, but it's illegal. Some of you have had things done to you that no one should have to endure. And when we start thinking about forgiveness, it's very easy to start thinking, man, if I forgive them, then that just means, well, they're never gonna face prosecution, or I'm never gonna testify in court, or please don't hear me say that. That is not true. Do you know what the reality is? God tells us to forgive and then leave the consequences to Him. He will carry out the consequences. Does that mean you shouldn't go and press charges? No, don't hear me wrong. Don't hear me say that. Maybe there's a time and place to do that. Okay? Absolutely. Okay? But here's what the scripture says. In fact, we just finished a series where we walked through this passage, and I want to remind you of it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, Paul says this, "Dear friends, never take revenge." Okay? Cool. Got that. You know, you know, nobody ever does that, right? Pay back evil for evil. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Here's what he's saying. God has righteous anger and he knows how to repay wicked. He is just. You know what my problem is? If I were going to carry out repayment for wickedness, I would go too far. Or I wouldn't go far enough. I don't get it right. God does. Leave it to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. God is a God of justice. He knows what was done and said. He sees it. He's not just letting them off the hook. Forgiveness does not remove the consequences. Fourth, sometimes we think that if we are going to forgive someone, that just makes everything all better, and we're just going to put magic Jesus dust over it, and it's just fixed. No. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. It starts the process, but that's another step. Reconciliation is where we talked about before, where sin comes into the equation, sin comes into the relationship, and now it's been broken. Reconciliation is the process of what's been broken being fixed and being brought back together, and it's like the idea of resetting a broken bone. That's reconciliation. Forgiveness is not the same. Forgiveness just is the pathway to removing the offense so that now when the person owns it and comes and asks forgiveness and said, I sinned, I hurt you, I did this. Okay, now you can say, okay, and you can begin to work towards restoration and renewing of trust. That's what can happen. So here's the question. What do you need to forgive today? I would guess that since the time we began 20 or so minutes ago, there are pictures or words or memories, some of them old, some of them new, things that have been playing through your head. Maybe even questions of, yeah, well, what about this? That's nice, Aaron. That's a good theory. That's cool. Yeah, I'm glad God does that to us, but I'm not so sure that my situation applies. Here's what I would say to you. I want you to just answer this question honestly with me for a minute, okay? And don't, even if you're sure, like, I'm not sure my situation applies, what do you think God might ask you to forgive today? But I'm going to give you a little bit of a parameter, okay? only forgive what you would want to be forgiven for. I'm not saying you did those things, but let's just say you did do them. If you had done it, would you want to be forgiven for it? If you had hurt someone the way you've been hurt, would you want to be forgiven for it? Here's why I say this. Because Jesus talks very openly about forgiveness, and he gives us sharp clarity around it. In Matthew 6, here's what Jesus says. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Boy, that sounds good. I mean, that's what I want. I need, in fact, it's what I need. The more I understand my sin, the more I understand like how I've offended a holy God, the more I know I need forgiveness. But then the next verse comes. In verse 15, it says this, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So here's a question. Is that thing that's been in your mind, is that something that you would want forgiven? A few years ago, probably about 5 years ago now, I had a young man come and start working for my company in Kansas City. His name was Levi. He was 22, and he knew everything. It's hard to believe, I know. One day, at the end of the week, when it was pay period, everybody was gathered around the shop. We were paying people. He happened to open up and look at what he had gotten paid, and he was not satisfied with it. And he started making a ruckus. And I said, okay, Levi, hey, that's fine. Let's talk about it in just a second. I got to finish talking about the plans for next week with everybody, and I need to talk to the other employees here. Once everybody else clears out, let's talk about it, and we'll get this figured out. Levi couldn't take the hint. Levi kept going and got louder and louder and louder, demanding, saying, you need to fix this. You're stealing from me. That kind of got things going. Like, hold on a second. We can talk about this, but we're not going to do this in front of everybody else. And I asked Levi repetitively to stop. Give me a second, then we'll walk over here and we'll have a conversation. He couldn't stop. So finally it came to a boiling point, and I said, hey, Levi, here's the deal. I don't care about the money. I don't care about that one bit, but I'm not going to be disrespected in front of everybody else. Either pause or you're not going to work here any longer. And he couldn't pause. That was the last day of Levi's work for me. I paid him more than even what he was asking for, and I said, thank you for working for me. The end. A year later, I got a call from Levi, and he was in trouble. His first words to me were, Aaron, can you help me, and can I please come back and work? And my first response was, of course you can come back to work. If you believe that, I'm not that good. That wasn't my first response. But over the course of the conversation, I was convicted, and I said, hey, let's stop and have a conversation, and let's meet, and let's see. Levi had gotten himself into some trouble with the law. He came, he owned his stuff. He said, I was wrong the way I treated you. I was wrong. I'll talk to these other guys that still work for you. I will own it. I would really like to earn your trust back. I forgave him. He came back and started working for me and changed his life. This is a guy who a year before had been riding along in a truck with me, and he told me to stop. He said, I don't want to hear any of that Jesus stuff. It's okay. I'm not going to push anybody, you know? I was able to, about 6 months later, go and testify on Levi's behalf in court. Levi came back and started working and became an incredibly productive employee who learned a ton and then was able to go and get an even better job because he came and learned some skills with us. Here's the thing. I got to see an incredible turnaround because one night Levi called me bawling, saying, "My grandpa's dying. I don't know what to do. My world is turning upside down. Would you please talk to me about God?" Here's the thing. If I had let my flesh take control, I never would have had that opportunity. That's what unforgiveness does. It robs us. And I don't want to see it rob you anymore. What do you need to forgive today? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being way more gracious and infinitely more patient than I am. Thank you for not just letting me off the hook, but paying my debt. God, there are people who have hurt me and surely people who have hurt others in this room. So God, I pray that you'd help us today. I pray that you'd help us to make a decision to release a debt. It's a debt that is causing cancer inside of us. God, I pray that we would turn to you. I pray that we would experience forgiveness from you. And that we would in turn extend the same forgiveness. I ask in Jesus' name.